start, if I can, by asking you about some major national issues that are important to our listeners. And, of course, the biggie is the economy. It's a big concern. To sort it out, even before any of the parties make anything, any new promises, it's going to cost a lot. So either cuts to services, higher taxes, or more borrowing. How will the Liberal Democrats improve the economy if they're elected?
OK, well, massive question, and the economics of the country do tie in with everything that's there. A lot's been made about the fact that our manifesto is carefully costed, so we know it's affordable. But we do need to make some changes. We do need to boost the economy, both in the short term and in the long term. In the long term, you do that through investment in education, which is the silver bullet. But in the short term, you've got to be able to free up businesses from as much red tape as they have, and support them in the way that both local authorities and national government can do. And there's a whole series of ways in which government can actually be the solution rather than the problem. I work for a small business. I'm a manager of small business. I'm a care home manager. And I can tell you that there are an awful lot of restrictions. Not all of them are necessarily that helpful. And we need to improve those things. Specifically, I think we need to look at our tax system, and that's a fundamental part of government. It's wrong at the moment that tax breaks are being given to the big banks. I don't understand that logic. They're doing really well. I don't understand why we're not going after the oil and gas companies who are making obscene levels of super profit. They need to be taxed more. We need to look at some of the people, like the traders in the city. At the moment, we've got a situation where people, normal people like you and me, Tony, we're paying more tax than at any point kind of in history, and it's just wrong. And the richer people in our society are actually paying less. And what we, and this isn't envy, this isn't the politics of envy, this is about fairness. We all join our society and we all play our part and we pay our entry fee, which is tax, and we need a range of services. And it's wrong that there are some people who have more money than they know what to do with. And other people who are worried, particularly about the cost of living, how they're going to pay the food bills, how they're going to pay the gas bill, things like that. We need to be brave and we need to be honest.
I want to ask you about a few subjects if I can. So NHS, another one that's important to our listeners. It's in a difficult place. Long waiting lists, difficulty getting a GP appointment, hard to find a dentist, long waits for ambulance and in A&E, junior doctor strikes. I could continue. How would you repair the NHS?
Thank you. You almost outlined our manifesto there. I mean, those are the key issues. Firstly, let me say that one of the first issues that was raised with me when I started meeting people in Staffordshire Moorlands was the slow response time for the ambulance service. Now, I can tell you that ambulance response times have not been good now for a number of years, and mostly we've had excuses, and we do need to deal with that. It will take investment, but it also takes reorganisation. We need to improve those ambulance times. It's not acceptable for an elderly lady care home, break her hip, and to wait hours for an ambulance to arrive, in pain, on the floor, for hours. That's just not acceptable. Now, solutions to your everyday kind of NHS issues, the Liberal Democrats are committed to recruiting 8,000 more GPs. Now, wouldn't it be great if you could just do that? You obviously can't. I speak as a nurse who trained in the NHS. I know that it will take us a number of years, about 4 years, to get to that target. But we have to start, and we have to start now. And these are properly qualified GPs, not those assistants that we have at the moment, but proper doctors. Believe it or not, we've actually got some unemployed qualified GPs in this country. It's bizarre. You would have thought with the shortage that every GP would be working. We also need to look at and listen to our GPs to see what we can do about retention, because there are a large number of GPs who are in their 50s now, who are thinking about retirement, and we really need them to do a few more years while we fill the gap. The issue around dentists, I shouldn't make this too personal, but I lost a filling 2 years ago. And I've been, and I'm not in any pain, so I couldn't get emergency treatment, but I can't get an NHS dentist. And that is just ridiculous. We have an agreement. The government has an agreement with the people, a kind of covenant about the NHS. And to allow the situation that we're in now is a disgrace. And we need to resolve that. We need to act. We need to get those dentists, give them the new style contract they need, give them the funding they need so that we can get the dentists back into the game. There are lots of issues. I'm really pleased that the party is taking cancer seriously. If you've ever had a cancer scare, and again I have, it's a really scary time. And then from the point where you get that referral, you need a strong target, and that's why we're putting the 62-day target in. So there are lots of things that can be done, but you've got to remember the size of the NHS, how massive it is. But can I just divert to one side for one moment? Remember, without social care, which is where 25% of nurses actually work, if without social care, the NHS will crumble within 48 hours. Government after government has ignored social care, and I'm really proud of the way that Ed Davey has put it right at the heart and soul of the Liberal Democrats. As a care home manager, I can tell you my colleagues are very impressed with the fact that Liberal Democrats actually take this seriously, rather than the lip service that we've had from previous governments. So attacking the NHS, funding it properly, and identifying the issues that people need has to be a priority. And the call by the Liberal Democrats for an emergency budget with health and social care right at the heart of it next month with the new parliament, whoever the MPs are, they have to sort out the NHS and social care now. They have to act. We have junior doctors on strike today, and the government can't actually do anything about that because of PERDA, but it just emphasises the point. Our NHS is in crisis. As a nurse, I had colleagues go on strike. I find it hard to imagine that we'd ever reach that situation, but that's how bad things have become. We need change, and we need to sit down, we need to listen, and whoever wins this, whoever is the government, please, can you look at a cross-party commission that looks at the future of the NHS and social care? Get all the parties to commit to a sensible policy so we can stop having all the reorganisations that Labour were always doing. Can we just bring a bit of common sense to it?
I want to ask you about a few other subjects and fairly quickly if I can. Schools have a lot of problems at the moment. Staff shortages, lack of money for essential repairs to buildings. What's your approach to education in sorting that gap in funding, but also crumbling school buildings?
Well, there is a problem in funding, and we're committed to increasing the amount that's given in pupil funding. That's important that's done, but also targeting that. So we'd be tripling the early years pupil premium, because it's the early years. If you don't get that right, then the rest of the time you're just chasing your tail, as it were. We do have crumbling schools. We have companies that built buildings that are unsafe during the 90s, and that's a real concern. We have to invest. We don't have a choice. But the one thing I would say to you is that something that's different. I've been involved in education 40-odd years as a councillor. And the thing that is different now is the issue about the large number of pupils in our schools who are suffering from mental health problems, the absence rates, things like that. There's a whole new level, and it's a national issue. It's a massive issue. And if we're not careful, we're going to lose a big chunk of the next generation. So we need to invest, and that's why we need to put a qualified mental health professional in every school to provide the support for both those pupils and the staff in getting things back on track.
Immigration's also a big issue for our listeners. Many people think it's far too high. Concerns about migrants arriving in boats across the channel. But others say we need those migrants to fill jobs. What's your view and the view of the Liberal Democrats?
The Liberal Democrats, and definitely my view as a care home manager, is if you stopped immigration tomorrow, you create an automatic problem for our NHS, which has always, since it was formed, relied on a significant number of its staff. I think 18% of the staff at the moment in the NHS are immigrants, should we say, weren't born here. We do need immigrants. We do need a control. I'm appalled by the small boats, but not in the way that some people are. I'm a Christian, and the thought of people drowning in the channel, it just appalls me. Something should be done. I saw Nigel Farage in a small boat yesterday. Sadly, the French didn't take him to France. That would have been good. We need to accept that we need immigration to have it properly controlled with a decent point system. We need to make sure there's enough of the right doctors and nurses and other allied health professionals coming in. And, you know, yes, there's a lot of fear about it, but if you worked out, if you took all the immigrants last year who came into this country and you split them up evenly, as Labour were talking about, that would mean 205 people arriving in Leek. 205. Now, actually, Leek can cope with that, and the immigrants who arrived there, the few that I've met, have spoken about how warmly they've been received by local people. The English, we traditionally are very good at welcoming people to our shores.
Can I ask you about some local issues then? What do you see as the local issues in the Staffordshire Moorlands? And if you were elected as our MP, what would you be shouting about in Westminster to improve for people in the Staffordshire Moorlands?
Oh, well, the big part of I found is that local people are very keen to tell you what they think. And I really welcome that. Rather than me there spouting about what the Liberal Democrats would do, lots of people have told me about their concerns, that a lot of them are the same as national ones. They are angry about the ambulance service. They're worried about GP access, frustrated about being able to get to a dentist. There are lots of hidden carers out there who are worried about the future of social care. These are people who are looking after elderly relatives, perhaps living with dementia. And I'm pleased the Liberal Democrats are going to give them a guaranteed right to respite breaks. But also young people saying that they're worried about the future. It's getting harder to get around. You know, there are fewer buses, job opportunities, work opportunities, and housing. Most of the housing in the constituency is built mostly in one area for geographical reasons. I understand that. But we do need to make sure that we've got affordable housing across the patch so young people don't leave our area. They need to stay in Staffordshire Moorlands because it's a lovely place. But they need the access to work and an access to different houses. Oh, and potholes. Yeah. I'll say this as somebody who's travelled a lot lately. There are a lot of potholes in Staffordshire Moorlands. Lots of them. I thought that where I come from in Somerset had a lot of potholes, but now you guys, you really know how to create potholes. The council has been underfunded and they need to fill them, not just patch them. They need to invest in our roads properly.
You mentioned there, and this is something that I know may have been raised on social media. You live in Somerset. How will that work if you're if you're successful in winning this seat?
Okay, well, firstly, I will do the opposite to what my Conservative MP did down here, where he moved out of the constituency, got elected. If I'm elected in just over a week's time, then I promise you I would move to the constituency. I'm not going to say which of the communities I want to live in. My wife would probably make that decision. I also promise that I would be a normal, hardworking Liberal Democrat MP who would be accessible, and you would all, people would know me, they would see me. They'd comment about the fact I talk with a different accent. But I would be a loud voice for that area. And interestingly, I think only one of the actual candidates was ever born there. All the rest of us are people who want to be there. And I've been travelling a lot of miles because I want to represent the people of Staffordshire Moorland.
Now, one of the things we've done with all of the candidates, and you're the last one to do this, we're going to give you an opportunity in 1 minute or less to explain to us and tell us why should we vote for you on the 4th of July. Over to you.
Okay, well, firstly, just to repeat the fact that thank you, everyone, for the warm reception I've received. It's been great. And to urge people to vote, please vote. It doesn't matter who you vote for, but please go out and vote. Why should you vote for me? Well, as I've already said, if I'm elected, I will be a high-profile local MP. I'm not chasing a political career. I don't want to be a government minister, but I would love to be your local MP, working hard for individuals, for businesses and organisations. I will listen. I will turn up. You will be surprised how different it is having a Liberal Democrat MP. And finally, can I just say that on the election day, please vote with your heart and your head. Vote Liberal Democrat.
Graham, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
It's been a pleasure talking to you and your listeners.